Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.
And are you ever?
Wow.
And what a day it has been.
It's going to be one of those days. I can tell already, Michael.
Yeah?
My goodness.
I'm not sure if it's a day like almost being in love.
Ooh.
But it's one that we're going to have some fun with.
That's
right. We have
right.
some amazing guests with us.
No
right?
doubt about it. A cool crew all the way around.
The patience of saints.
A wealth of talent here on State of the Arts. Three amazing performers today.
Absolutely.
So here it is, March 29th, and it's finally time to beginning to feel like spring here in Los Angeles.
It is. So let's spring right in.
Oh, I like what you did there.
Oh, really?
Very nice.
Really? You like that? Into the big show we have today, ladies and gentlemen, joining us by telephone from their rehearsal of the McCoy Rigby production of South Pacific. We will be speaking in just a minute with Stephanie Wall and John Cudia.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have with us a performer who has starred as Ava Perone in Broadway's Evita, in concert halls throughout the world, and most recently co-starred in The Graduate opposite Melanie Griffith at Laguna Beach Playhouse in their run that just closed this past weekend.
That's right. We are so happy to have Valerie Perry here with us in studio today.
Absolutely.
Let's give all our performers a
Everybody.
Big round of applause.
Yeah.
Here we go. Wow. Very, very cool. Very, very cool, Michael. Well, so now, obviously, this is a big show today, and we have a ticket giveaway as part for the April 15th matinee for performances of South Pacific via the first emails we receive at either our State of the Arts email, which is stateoftheartsla, that's arts with an S, L-A, at gmail.com, or on our Facebook page. So a chance to win some tickets, which is pretty cool. Let's get right to it.
Absolutely. So we are so excited, as we said a minute ago, to be having these two magnificently talented people with us on the show today, the stars of South Pacific, opening April 13th through the 15th at the Soroya Nazarian Center for the Performing Arts at the Valley Performing Arts Center, and then running in La Mirada at the La Mirada Theater April 20th through May 13th. La Mirada Theater for the Performing Arts.
That's
on the
right.
phone with us now, ladies and gentlemen, we welcome a renowned performer who has graced the Southland stage in countless productions, including Legally Blonde.
Of course, Gypsy and the Marvelous Wonderettes as well, to name just a few. She was heard in The Music of Nashville as Juliet, and she currently is starring as Nellie Forbush in South Pacific.
Also with her is her co-star in South Pacific, a performer who is equally at home on the opera stage and concert stages. He's sung as a featured classical tenor and for Broadway Pops as a soloist with the Baltimore Symphony, Calgary Philharmonic Orchestra, and the Detroit Symphony Orchestra, among many others.
He holds the distinct honor of being the first and only actor to have performed both as the Phantom in The Phantom of the Opera and Jean Valjean in Les Mis on Broadway.
That's a record.
No doubt.
A pretty impressive record.
They asked me to do it, but not being able to sing or dance kind of hurt me.
Why would that be?
This is truly a remarkable performer. We are obviously so excited to have him here today.
Absolutely. He is currently playing the role of Emile Debec in South Pacific. Let's give a warm welcome to these two amazing stars joining us today. Again, by telephone, the very talented Stephanie Wall and John Cudia.
Yeah. Wow. Welcome both.
Oh.
Thanks for joining us today.
You guys, are you having
what
fun?
A hand.
Well, we appreciate your patience today. I know you guys are in the middle of rehearsals right now at one of our favorite venues. Is that correct?
We are, yeah. We've been rehearsing all morning and, you know, doing a lot of the scene work together. And, yeah, we're just here. We want to take a little break to say hi to you guys.
How cool. We appreciate it. We're glad to have you here on State of the Arts. Can you tell me a little bit about how you got involved with the show and what the rehearsal process has been like so far?
Well, I was involved. I went through the audition and the callback and everything, and then but Monsieur Jean over here was already cast, and so I got to meet him at our first rehearsal.
Wow.
I got to play Emile for the first time in Sacramento with our same director Glenn Casale.
Mm-hmm.
So
wonderful.
I was very, very pleased and fortunate for him to call and ask if I was available to come and do this production here.
Well, will you give him our best? He's one of our favorite people as well. You know,
absolutely.
He's a dream. He's a wonderful director. It's my first time working with him, and he's just fantastic.
Yes, he is. I agree completely. You know, these are such iconic roles that the two of you are playing. How, or Stephanie, especially for yourself, with regard to Nellie Forbush and all of the great women who have played this role, not only on the Broadway stage, but in the motion picture and also the television production of it that Disney did. How did you come to arrive, I mean, I'm sure with Glenn's help, but I mean, did you have your own idea that when coming into this, how you would want to play that role?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely believe that she is a strong female archetype, you know, and we've been discussing this in rehearsal, obviously, with Glenn as well, of, yeah, she's a girl from Arkansas. She really is just a down-home Southern girl who's found herself in you know, the military, and so she's worked her way up through that. She is a low-ranking officer, but she is an officer, so she's a hard-working girl, and so we're just finding the balance of, you know, the good old Southern girl who's suddenly found herself and worked her way up, I suppose, to being an officer in the Navy, and is now learning about the world outside of Little Rock and outside of, you know, the South, which she knows and is comfortable with. And yeah, I mean, we're really focusing on her growth. You know, she starts somewhat small-minded, and obviously throughout the course of the play, she evolves into, I think, a more educated and well-rounded person, wouldn't you think?
Absolutely.
Are you affecting a Southern accent for this role?
Well, of course I am. You know, I can't play a girl from Arkansas without doing a proper accent.
Oh, you be careful. You're going to get me to slide back into mine, man. I'll tell you.
I know, right?
That's fantastic.
I find myself doing it at home with my kids, actually, where I'll be like, you go on, eat your dinner now. And then they're like, where'd my mom go? Who's that weird Southern lady talking to me?
Mom, you talk funny.
Mom, you talk funny now. Yeah, so, you know, yeah, I have to remind myself that I'm not at rehearsal.
My little boy, I have a 7-year-old, and when he was first learning to talk, he learned to speak with a Southern accent, even though we were from California. I mean, his mom and I are both from the South, but we're living in Southern California, and he would say things like, Mama, help, I need help. And we said, who's
just
this?
All, just 4 syllables, the word help.
That's right.
Yeah, no, my parents are from, my dad is, side of the family is all from the South, and so I was raised in a Southern home in Southern California, so
wow.
Yeah, the accent slips in occasionally, actually the accent's been the least difficult part about Nellie. The you know, what's been hard has been really exploring her emotional issues that she has, which are severe prejudice, and so we're really diving into that. We're not shying away from that in this production at all.
Well, and on that, John, obviously you have a difficult job in that portraying this role is something that's been done by so many great stars before and so many wonderful things going on that probably weren't given thematic attention up until our current climate and so many interesting things that are going on in the world. I was surprised in researching this show how relevant it is to what's going on today and just global politics and the idea of how people kind of break out of their small world and understand living in a global community and that sort of thing. John, can you tell me a little bit about how this role compares with some of the other great roles you've played?
Well, it's funny that you say that, because this will be either my 5th or my 6th production of South Pacific, and I had some experience playing Lieutenant Cable as well.
Wow.
But it's inevitable that at some point in every production that I've done, going back 20 years, that someone says, isn't it amazing how relevant this is to today? And I think that speaks to the brilliance of the writing.
Absolutely.
But also it speaks to the human experience, which never really changes, which is growing up and learning about your own prejudices, learning about your own ignorance of the world outside the world you grew up in.
That's right.
And I think that keeps happening every time I do it. And it's one of the joys of going back to a show that's so well written so many times, is you get to relive that experience and you get to relearn it over again with new cast and new people. But as far as comparing it to other roles, I try and always just go back to as close to the beginning as I can, getting as close to the original source, whether it's Tales of the South Pacific or the book of Phantom of the Opera or whatever, and see what kind of information is there to mine that might influence how I approach a character. But then I open up the score and I try and throw all that stuff out and then just go with exactly what's on the page, see what particularly writing like Richard Rodgers and Oscar Hammerstein is just to see exactly what it is they are trying to tell me about who the character is. So I try and approach them all from that point of view.
Wonderful.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, John, but did you played Lieutenant Cable in the production of this?
I did. My very first production where I played Lieutenant Cable, actually, Kathy Rigby was Nellie Forbush.
Isn't that crazy?
Oh, wow.
Kind of great.
Now I'm back in her house.
Yeah.
She's got a little bit of talent, doesn't she?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. My goodness.
One of our favorites for sure.
Yeah, she's so sweet and wonderful. I think that making the transition now to Emil is very exciting. I can't wait
Absolutely
to see you do
it this. Absolutely it is. And to be honest, when I heard the show growing up as a kid, my parents were huge fans of Richard Rodgers, and South Pacific was played in my house a lot. It was more Emil that I was drawn to musically than Lieutenant Cable. And so it's always been on my mind that it would be something that I wanted to do. It was a surprise the first time it came around for me. I wasn't exactly sure that I was ready for it. But it was a thrill to even just get a little bit of a taste of something I had been thinking about for so long. This production for me is, I think, going to be a little bit more of a digging into some things that I can go a little further with and can think about a little bit more deeply.
Well,
very well said.
We should tell people how they can see this show.
Absolutely.
And it is coming up in the month of April here, and we'll be opening up in the San Fernando Valley at the University of Northridge, Cal State Northridge, mm-hmm. excuse me, in their beautiful Sororia Theater, which is a part of the Valley Performing Arts Center. And it's only a weekend of performances there, Friday, April 13th at 8 p.m., Saturday, April 14th at 3 p.m. and 8 p.m., and Sunday, April 15th at 3 p.m. Tax day. Well, but you have a reprieve because it's tax day.
Don't say that.
That's
yeah,
right.
Just
get out of the house and go see some theater on that day, right?
Exactly. Your mind off of tax and come see the show.
And it then opens later in the month at the La Mirada Performing
That following weekend. We'll be at La Mirada starting.
The
21st, so we'll go straight from the Valley into La Mirada. We'll be there for 4 weekends, right?
Yes, April 21st through the 13th of May, if I'm not mistaken.
That's great.
Yeah, and it truly is. I mean, you guys mentioned it earlier that it is so significant to be doing this now. With our current social and political climate and everything, and it does speak about human nature, and the writing is so perfect that it does apply whenever you do it. But you know, specifically now, and I'm going to go ahead and say it, this presidency, it's we are not shying away from any of those themes. We're definitely tackling all of them and addressing them within the time period and confines of this show, and it's just going to be really relevant. But it's not. Don't come expecting to get beat over the head with any agenda. I mean, we're definitely telling that story, but it's also a blast. I mean, the choreography is great by Peggy Hickey. The direction, of course, by Glenn is fantastic. It's also going to be a really fun night in theater. So.
Stephanie, I must say, I was surprised. I'd not been very familiar with the show, and in my research last night, I sat down and I looked at the song list, and I was blown away by how many toe-tapping, walking out of the theater, humming numbers there are. Of course, this has important themes and very valid things to discuss,
Absolutely.
But it is so much fun, too. Can you remind our audiences of some of the great songs in this show?
Well, I mean, we were just staging Wash That Man Out of My Hair yesterday a little bit, and we were having giggles the entire time we were doing it. I'm whipping the girls with the towels, and that's a solid 5.5-minute party on stage. And then
Nothing Like a Dame.
No.
Unenchanted Evening.
Yeah.
Younger
wow.
Than Springtime.
Yeah, Cockeyed Optimist.
Which
I love
is my
the
favorite
wonderful
by far.
Guy. Yeah, I mean, they're really... You forget how many songs you already know from
they
the show.
They wrote some good stuff.
Yeah, they
certainly
good at it.
Did. Well, I think this is a great great marriage with the venue that you're in now, and I think that if people get a chance to get out and see the show, they're going to be reminded, first of all, the heritage of musical theater and how many great songs came before the shows that we have now on Broadway, and the musical mm-hmm. roots that were established by shows like South Pacific and, of course, Oklahoma and some of these others. This is a fun show. What's next after this for you guys? Are you moving on to other projects, or do you want to just invest in these roles for the rest of your life?
I mean, I would love to invest in these roles the rest of my life, absolutely. After this, I'm in we're workshopping and working on a production of Romy and Michelle's High School Reunion, the musical.
Yes, you did that up in Seattle, right?
Yeah, we did it in Seattle, and so we got a couple workshops scheduled for this year with a hopefully Broadway opening at the top of 19. So,
sweet.
That's been in the works for a minute, and that's the projected timeline for that. So,
and Stephanie, where can people find out more about you?
Sorry?
Where can people find out more about you? Your social media, that sort of thing? Can they?
I'm on social media. I have Facebook and everything, and
cool.
then I'm on Instagram and Instagram and Facebook, and they can also email me. Superstaff@spcglobal.net
awesome.
for other specific information. But social media, I definitely post all of my artist things that I do.
And John, you have your own website, so it. Right?
I need to get an actual website. I guess I need to get with the times now. It's I have two young children as well, so
one of them can probably design it for you.
They've been keeping me busy, but yes, I do. Social media is the best place to find out upcoming show dates and tickets and everything like that. I'll hire a web designer. How about that? I'll make somebody else do
Excellent. And John, where can people follow you?
I have kids too, but I do try and update johncudia.com.
Oh, look at you!
As often as
All
I
right.
can.
Okay.
I was on it for a good amount of time last night, and it was fantastic. It's a really well-designed site. More importantly, you get a glimpse of some of the other great roles that you've done. And this South Pacific show sounds like a really nice match for both of you and your talents. I can't wait to hear more about it.
And you know what, guys? You are working with two of our favorite people,
That's
Jeff
right.
Scowron and Mark Ginsberg.
Mm-hmm.
We love them.
And they are and Mar and Jeff is actually going to be in a show for 3D Theatricals after he finishes your beautiful production. He's going to recreate his Ovation Award winning role in Parade.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Jeff, right? He was incredible in that.
Yes.
I read.
Yes.
I didn't get to see him, but I heard
And Mark
great.
Has just come off of Evita playing Shay. So, yeah, lots of interesting things going
on. Yeah, we got a lot of really wonderful people. Glenn was really specific about hiring actors for these roles. Very, and everybody is really diving into their characters. And,
yeah.
You know, we're not just up there singing and dancing and being silly. Everybody is really investing, and so it's lovely to be rehearsing with such invested actors.
That's great. Well, and it sounds like, obviously, this is such a great production, and this fitting of this venue, plus you guys, plus this amazing surrounding cast, I can't wait to see this show.
So one more time.
We can't wait for you to see it. It's going to be fun.
One more time, we will give you the information here. Friday, April 13th, South Pacific opening, starring Stephanie Wall and John Cudia at the Valley Performing Arts Center's Soroya Nazarian Theater. And tickets are very easy to get. You can go to their website at valleyperformingartscenter.org and purchase them that way, or you can go to their box office, which is open daily. Guys, thank you so much.
We appreciate you taking a moment out of rehearsal, and thanks again for your patience today. We certainly appreciate you taking the time to talk with us.
Thank you so much. We'll see you at the show.
Bye-bye.
You bet you will. Bye-bye, guys.
Bye.
We're not truly... Truly, Michael, I mean, this is a cool marriage of talent and a show. These two were kind of, built for these roles in so many ways.
Well, and they're both very fine-looking people as well.
That doesn't
Stephanie
hurt, does
is,
it?
Stephanie is so beautiful. She always has been. And she's one of those women, though, that because of that kind of beauty, she never really – it's just who she is,
Yeah.
And she's so perfect for this role.
And speaking of beauty, we have some beauty sitting next to me in the studio
right
today.
Here in the studio.
We do. In fact, I've got to take a moment and say just your dignity and your patience and your kindness today have already endeared me to you, Valerie. How are you doing?
Well, thank you very much. I'm doing much better now.
We're going to give you your proper intro here in a minute. But have you ever seen South Pacific?
Yes, I have. As a matter of fact, South Pacific was the very first musical I had my first lead in college.
Oh, my God.
I did Nelly in college.
Oh,
sweet.
So, I'm very familiar.
I'd pay to see that.
That is pretty cool. That is pretty cool. Well, will you be so kind as to hang on with us while we pay a couple bills?
Absolutely.
Thank you. And again, we are going to be giving away a pair of tickets to South Pacific. So if people want to drop us an email at our email account, they can certainly do that. Or, of course, if they wanted to, they could just jump on our Facebook page, send us a message there. And we'll be taking the first email that comes in for a pair of tickets to South Pacific, stateoftheartsla@gmail.com, of the arts, LA at gmail.com. Or, of course, just jump on Facebook, State of the Arts, and you can visit us there. So, obviously, we're going to get back to the beautiful woman you heard just a moment ago. But, Michael, before we do that, should we take the time to thank our sponsors here?
I think we should.
Excellent.
We would like to thank, ladies and gentlemen, Princess Cruises for coming on board as presenting sponsors for State of the Arts during 2018. Mm-hmm. A pioneer in excellence on the high seas for meaningful travelers who seek enriching experiences, only Princess Cruises offers cruise vacations to help you come back new, providing fresh perspectives by connecting you with nature, cultures, and loved ones in a new way.
One of the best-known names in cruising, Princess Cruises first set sail in 1965 with a single ship cruising to Mexico. Today, the line has grown to become the third largest cruise line in the world, renowned for innovative ships, an array of onboard options including extravagant entertainment, and an environment of exceptional customer service. A recognized leader in worldwide cruising, Princess carries approximately 1.7 million guests each year to more than 360 destinations worldwide, aboard a fleet of 17 modern vessels.
So experience the next wave in vacation travel at the end of each month from September to August. One lucky winner will win a cruise for two in a balcony stateroom on board one of the new Ocean Medallion class ships.
Wow.
Make sure to enter every month for your chance to win, and you can do that by listening to this program and going to our network page, which is on the LA Talk Radio Network, of course, and just punch the name of State of the Arts in, and that'll take you right to our page and the opportunity to register for that sweepstakes.
And if you Google LA Talk Radio State of the Arts, Michael's beautiful picture will pop up, and right by him, you're going to see the beautiful Princess cruise ship right there. I thought that was a nice pairing. Just kind of seems like you're about to sail away, Michael.
Really?
Yeah, you click that link and it pops right up. I tell you, I've got all my friends entering this contest. I am dying to enter this contest. Do you think if I use a false name, something like that, they'd know?
I don't think so.
They would,
no,
wouldn't they?
Know,
they're smart people over there. You can't put anything by them,
yeah,
I tell you.
I think
this is a great cruise and obviously top of the line stuff. So we're big thanks to Princess Cruises for all they do and for offering that amazing giveaway.
We'd also like to acknowledge Performing ArtsLive.com, one of the internet's most prominent listening sources for the live arts in Southern California. And we're grateful to have them on board with us as well.
That's right. Two great sponsors and people who care about the arts. So now, Michael, we have other things we want to talk about today. Obviously, great resources for the arts there, but exciting talk going on, too, about other things going on in theater right now in our own backyard. We've already discussed South Pacific, one of the great shows making waves here in the Southland, and we're going to talk about some of the other fantastic theatrical opportunities we have in L.A. right now. But first, Michael, was there anything fantastic in your theatrical week?
You know, no. Because I am getting ready, I think I told you, to move from my home into a new home.
That's right.
And I wasn't expecting to do that so quickly. And it's very daunting. You know, what are they? It's right up there with what they say the most stressful things
are.
Number one is losing a loved one.
That's right.
Number two is
divorce.
And number three is moving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, you're number three. You still got plenty of time to build up. So
I resigned myself to the fact that I have to do this and am just kind of narrowing in on where I'm moving into.
You know, I always hate moving, but I always end up feeling so good about the change. Once you're in your new place, it's always crazy to get in there. But once you're in there, it feels so good to say, hey, this is a chance to change other things in my life, move forward.
A new beginning.
Right, that's exactly right. It's like a new slate you can write upon. I love that, Michael.
Well, lots of friends, you know, when you tell them about that, they say, well, you know, I'll help you if I can. And I say, okay, you better.
Right.
No, I wouldn't call upon
taking down names and numbers.
Me, honestly, because I don't like to do those kinds of things, and I don't want to get caught. But my friends are sweet, and they will come, and I'll feed them.
Wow.
And we'll have a good time.
That's a good enough reason right there. Plus, I mean, obviously, once you get into your new place, we get to have a party, a housewarming party, so I'm looking forward
absolutely
to that.
Absolutely.
We should talk about Laughter on the 23rd
we
floor
should
at another of our famous and favorite local theaters here. Neil Simon's love letter to his early career as a TV writer alongside the likes of comedy legends Carl Reiner and Mel Brooks, Laughter on the 23rd floor follows the roller coaster antics that catapult a not-your-average 1950s writer's room into the comedy fray as they frantically attempt to please their larger-than-life boss of a weekly comedy variety show.
Locked in an ongoing battle with NBC executives who fear the show's humor is too sophisticated for middle America, the writing and fighting of the team expose the social and political undercurrents of the 1950s, reflecting back the ongoing tensions in today's America in this updated, reimagined production.
Don't miss this brilliant show on stage now through April 23rd at the Gary Marshall Theater in Burbank.
For tickets or more information, call 818-955-8101 or visit GaryMarshallTheater.org. And Gary is spelled with two R's, GaryMarshallTheater.org.
Obviously, Mr. Marshall was one of our favorite people in theater, and certainly great work he's done there with that theater.
Absolutely. His daughter is still there.
Oh, wonderful.
Running the show. So our next guest, ladies and gentlemen, is one of the brightest stars working today, and we are so happy to have her back here on State of the Arts joining us today. She made her professional stage debut in 1979, starring as Ava Perone in the Broadway National Company of Evita. She's played this iconic role throughout the world, including the L.A. premiere at the Schubert Theater, for which she won a Dramalog Award. Her tenure as Argentina's First Lady in Chicago garnered her a nomination for the Sarah Siddons Award.
She worked with luminary director-choreographer Jerome Robbins in the first national Broadway tour of Jerome Robbins Broadway, and has since starred in such blockbusters as Fiddler on the Roof, West Side Story, Gypsy, Jesus Christ Superstar, Man of La Mancha, and City of Angels. She has wowed concert hall audiences worldwide in performances at the Wolf Trap in Virginia, Disney Hall in Los Angeles, the esteemed Opera House in Frankfurt, Germany, and London Palladium.
Off-Broadway turns include Diamonds, Angry Housewives, and The World Goes Round, and Harry Chapin, Lies and Legends, the latter earning her a Los Angeles Drama Critics Award. Her portrayal of Norma Desmond in Musical Theater West's 2013 production of Sunset Boulevard also landed her a nomination for Best Actress from Broadway World.
Equally comfortable on camera or the stage, film and television credits include The Out-of-Towners, Disney's George of the Jungle, Grease, and guest appearances on Criminal Minds, ER, Another World, Brooklyn Bridge, and Who's the Boss?
She's just completed her co-starring role in The Graduate with Melanie Griffith at the Laguna Beach Playhouse this past Sunday, and we are so pleased that she was kind enough to take a moment out of her busy schedule to chat with us today here in studio, the incomparable Valerie Perry.
I feel so old.
Well, now, you started when you were two to get all those credits, right?
Yeah.
I mean, my goodness, my printer ran out of ink.
Well, when you were saying all that stuff, I said, is that me? Did I really do all that?
This is your life, right?
Actually, we're probably just scratching the surface.
It's
kind of
crazy,
that, right?
But it's sad.
I had to cut
really
a ton, too. Well, and it's interesting, too, because the width and breadth of the characters you've played, I mean, it spans from everything from television credits on Who's the Boss, which was one of my favorite shows growing up, to really deep and important roles like Evita. I always thought it was funny. You've played that in so many different parts of the world. You must have gotten very varied reactions based on what the city is kind of going through at the time and what the political climate is. Was that difficult?
Absolutely. It was very, very different, especially when I played it in Washington, D.C.
Oh.
That was
throw her into the fire.
That was very exciting.
Wow.
And at the same time, very enlightening. I mean, I would have people from the Argentinian embassy come to see the show. And, you know, depending on, you know, if you were in the oligarchs or, you know, you were
right.
in the working class. It was amazing how they were so opinionated, very strong, and the Falkland Islands was going on at that time, the whole controversy. So it was very exciting, and it was a real Cinderella story for me, really.
How so?
Well, at the time...
That's when you'd go, oh, no, I played Cinderella.
No. At the time that I auditioned, I was living here in Los Angeles, and... I was not a member of Equity. I wasn't even an Equity member at the time. But my agent had contacted the Prince office and said, I have a young lady who I think would be very right for it. And I had gone into this audition preparing both Evita and the mistress because I was very young, and they didn't know whether or not I might be just too young for Ava.
Another picture off another wall. Such a beautiful song.
Yeah,
I know people
have
made
pretty.
Their careers off of that. Yeah,
absolutely. So learning all the material for both characters, I walked in and I met Paul Gemignani, who was the musical supervisor of the entire production. And he said, what are you going to sing? And I said, well, I've prepared, you know, both the mistress and Evita. He says, well, you can only do one, so choose one.
And so like Evita, you didn't back down.
That's right.
That's my girl.
Okay, well, I got to make a choice here. So I said,
what a pivotal moment for you, too. Can you imagine if you'd gone the other way? Oh, I just want to play the mistress, you know. Thank goodness you had the confidence and the strength of yourself to say, let's do this.
Yeah,
you know, that's a great thing.
Absolutely.
A wonderful lesson for young performers, too. Don't back down. Give it your all and go for it.
Very true.
That's a great thing.
I totally agree.
Kind of a Cinderella story, although also kind of an Evita Perón story. I'm coming in here. I'm going to get this role, and you're all going to watch this happen. Here we go. I love it because it's an interesting portrait of a woman who obviously had very strong desires, but also was so vulnerable. She had so many weaknesses, and I thought that was an interesting thing to see on stage, how much acting is involved in such a fun musical. I mean, a huge musical, big scheme musical, and no, you've got to still have those tiny moments of intimacy and fear and vulnerability that she has. That must have been challenging to play.
It was extremely challenging to play. And as a matter of fact, it was only recently I took a trip to Argentina.
Wow.
Which you did. Yeah,
which
was just so phenomenal.
Oh, what prompted you to do that?
Oh, I had always wanted to go. And in fact, we took a cruise. My husband and I took a cruise, and we went to Buenos Aires. It was one of the points, and we got off and we actually stayed in Buenos Aires, and I did all of the things that I wanted to do. I saw Luna Park Stadium. I went to the Casa Rosada, and just everything that I sang about, you know, Rio de la Plata, you know, all the streets. But the most exciting thing for me was when I went into the Casa Rosada. Now, you're not always allowed to go inside.
I'm sure.
They have you outside and people are taking pictures. But this particular day, they were allowing tour.
They heard you were coming.
Yeah, they heard I was coming. I signed my book. And as I was walking through there, I started to get really excited and nervous, and my whole body just went kind of tingly.
Wow.
As I took the walk through the pathway to get out to the balcony to where she did all of her speeches.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking to myself, oh my goodness, this is what Hal Prince was talking about.
Yeah.
You know, you're so nervous, you can't even get the words out in the very beginning. And I immediately wrote him a note when I got back into the States, and I said, I now know what you meant when you were directing me. That, you know, you were so. It was so breathtaking, and you know, to this day, it's, you know, one of the highlights.
I can only imagine.
That's just amazing.
Very, very cool. You also, at the beginning, correct me if I'm wrong. With any part of this story, but you were pregnant, right, with your first child?
Oh, that was later on.
Oh, later on.
That was a tour I did in 1992,
oh,
which was
okay.
Another world tour. Yeah, I've made a career out of doing Evita. I have
Why
to
tell
you. Apparently, your child has too. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, yeah. But it's fun. I have so much respect for Andrew Lloyd Webber and Hal Prince and Larry Fuller. Everybody who's given me the opportunity to continue to do it because.
Wow.
You know, in the very beginning, I was so young. I felt like Act One was a cinch for me. Young Ava was great, but I never really understood Act Two.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, when I was older and I got up on the balcony and I had been through so much in my life, and I said the words, these are not the solutions they promised to be.
Oh.
You know, the answer was here all the time.
Yeah.
And it was revelatory. I mean,
and this is how many performances in? Hundreds of performances
my gosh.
In? Unbelievable.
You know, Andrew, I think I probably have done 1,000 performances of Ava.
Wow.
But, you know, all of that stuff has so much more meaning for me now. And then, of course, what you mentioned, Michael, was this. In 1992, Larry Fuller came to me and said, we'd love for you to take out this world tour. And at the time, I was not pregnant, and I said, yes, I would do it. I found out later that I was pregnant, and, you know, I kudos to him and the producer who said, you know what, we'll make it easy for you. We still want you to do it.
How great.
And that was the very first. In fact, I think so many girlfriends of mine had gotten pregnant after that tour because they saw that you can do it.
It's
you
not
can
a stopper.
Actually,
yeah.
It's, yeah, it shouldn't stop your life, you know, to be an actress. You need to be able to have all of those facets. And so I did. I took my kids with me on the road with a nanny and my husband. And
that's amazing.
We toured for a year until they could walk.
You needed a nanny and a husband.
Wow.
I needed a nanny and a husband. Yeah, yeah.
That's great. Well, now, I got to ask this, and this is, as we enter into biology here on State of the Arts, is it hard to sing those notes when you're pregnant? I mean, it would feel like there's all kinds of somebody pressing on your diaphragm and all that sort of thing.
Well, I had already given birth.
Okay.
By the time I...
All right. Good, good, good.
I was doing it.
But you were pregnant while you performed briefly. Is that right?
And I've done concerts.
What an amazing tribute to the human body, being able to do that. Because that's two pretty important things going on all at once. My goodness.
That's very true. But women are a lot stronger than men give them credit for.
As a daddy of a daughter, I can vouch for that, man. So my little girl's 9, and she says the other day, she's 9, and I was talking about, well, what our plans were for the weekend. I was like, well, maybe we'll stay overnight somewhere. She goes, well, if you and mommy want to go, you know, I can stay home by myself. And I said, 9 years old? And then I thought, she probably could do it by herself, which was terrifying because I was a disaster at 9. So it's amazing. Well, what an amazing role have defined so much of your career as well.
Yes,
Evita's such a beautiful piece. It was the first musical I ever saw where the acting and the stage movement, the dancing and the songs were all equally so challenging, so inspiring, and so difficult. Really, I think it changed the genre in a lot of ways.
It is the single one show that I have seen the most in my lifetime.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
I saw
amazing.
It here when it started here with Patti LuPone.
With Patti at the
Music Center. And I was hooked. Yeah. And then when I was working on Broadway, not me as a performer, but with my client Andy Gibb in Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, I would get him on stage in that role, and then I would go over to see Patti do it again, almost four times a week.
She
I would
amazing.
Do it.
Absolutely amazing. You know,
we were
amazing.
There for a few months.
Unbelievable.
You know, they flew me into New York when I had been cast in the Chicago. After I did L.A., I went into Chicago. And they had me, you know, fitted for all the costumes and wigs and all that other stuff. And they also wanted me to do a lot of press with Patti. Just, you know, one Ava congratulating the next. And I remember going to see her show. And I was just overwhelmed with how wonderful she is and was in that role. And I just kept thinking, oh, my God, I hope I could do this. I started to have these fears because she was so wonderful. And I, you know, watching her transform, her acting was just... Oh, so spot on.
Yes. But your reviews were quite remarkable as well.
Well,
so you didn't have any trouble.
There was no drop off, that's for sure. Yeah,
you
know, absolutely.
And I want to ask you one thing, because it is such an iconic role. What was it like as an actress and as a singer and as a person in that incredible entrance when you walk across the top of the stage and on that balcony and you, in that white dress and... What was that like for you?
Well, I'll go back to the moment when Hal was giving us direction.
Yeah.
His statement to me was that, you know, you are overwhelmed by the throngs of people out there. And, of course, like I said, not until I went to Argentina and I really felt it, looking out at the square and seeing what she saw. But I can say that in the show itself, it was always a marvelous moment because it was one in which everybody stopped. You know, the audience held their breath. The people on stage, you know, were all with you. And it was magical. It was magical.
I'm sure it was. Because when you think of Evita, that's the first thing that comes to mind for me is that moment.
That entrance.
That moment, yeah. It was so spectacular.
Yeah, well, that is sort of the... The pinnacle,
there.
Of
exactly.
The
What role? You know, we've worked together since then. We worked in Sunset Boulevard,
yes.
And I had the pleasure of representing Valerie within the course of the show for public relations.
Wow.
And more recently in Hello, Dolly! For 3D theatricals.
Right.
Another role that you killed in.
Thank you.
And Norma Desmond, that role too. I mean, both of them. What can't you do? What haven't you done that you would like to do?
Oh, it's such a good question. As I've gotten older, I've really come to a point in my life where it's not what I'm doing, it's who I'm doing it with.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
You know, I've really enjoyed this. You had mentioned The Graduate. I really enjoy doing this wonderfully comedic role. No singing. And it was very strange. The very first day of rehearsal, I walked in with a script that was, a quarter
lacking
of an
the
inch
libretto.
Yes, and I didn't have a huge dance bag with several different pair of shoes and yes, the libretto, and it was very odd. You know, it was all about the words.
That's interesting, but a nice change as well.
Wonderful change of pace. And
well, how was Melanie to work with?
Gosh, she is one of the sweetest, big-hearted, most generous people I've had a chance.
Who's
to get
her mother?
Know. Her mother's Tippi Hedren.
Right. So I was just reading an article on, of course, the amazing things that Tippi did and all the struggles that she went through and how she's adjusted and doing so many great things now. I think she's very into animal help and helping animals. Animals and all that. But it was interesting to see how Melanie has so many of those traits as well, very kind and open with those kind of topics as well.
Totally. Wow. And I had, on closing night, actually, Tippi came to see the show.
Right.
And I sat down with her afterwards at our cast party, and I chatted with her a little, and it was so obvious to me within 5 minutes where Melanie gets all that beauty and strength.
We love artistic families. Passing that down is important.
Keyword, beauty. She is a beautiful woman.
Stunning.
Stunning. When in my younger years, I used to live across the street from her and Antonio Banderas.
Oh, really?
We were together, yes.
Wow. Oh.
Not that we were neighborly or anything. It wasn't that. I just knew they lived there.
Right.
I would try to see. What?
There's another Evita connection. He played Shay, of course. So,
That's right. In fact, we talked about that during the show. She said, oh, my gosh, Antonio played Shay. And so she would always say to me, sing Don't Cry for Me. Sing Don't Cry for Me.
Sure.
So sometime during The Graduate, you just break out in a song and add a little song there.
I have a piano in my pocket.
We had a wonderful, wonderful cast, and they were all a lot of fun backstage.
Wow.
And she was just as down to earth as anybody. She was
That's great.
Back there grooving and jamming with all of us.
Well, now, do you have anything next? What's coming up?
Well, actually, I'm doing a wonderful project with Michael. You should talk about it because you
will. Yes.
You've been doing.
She's going to be at Sterling's upstairs at the Federal.
One of my favorite venues in the world.
Thank you. On behalf of the Foundation for New American Musicals, and it's called Third Mondays.
Excellent. A good mix.
And
that.
It is the April edition, which is coming up on April 16th, and Valerie will be one of five such performers in the event, which is in benefit of the foundation itself. And it's cool because we've had some of Michael Donovan was here talking about it not too long ago before we started the project. But you'll be singing from Broadway's past, something that you're choosing from Broadway's past,
correct.
And something from the present Broadway, and then something from the future of Broadway.
Very cool.
Which is, of course, will come from one of the musicals that the foundation is shepherding at this time.
I love that. That's great.
And that gets assigned to her, but the other two songs are by her choosing. And it's really a very, very interesting process for the audience to see this. And it's three successive songs, so she's not getting up, singing one, going away, coming back later. So you have them. I think it's a good idea because the audience gets involved with you personally then, and from these three very distinctly different songs. It's a cool, wonderful kind of way to hear music perhaps that you've never heard before, especially from the past. not everybody knows the past.
Great concept, and obviously a great way to keep the idea of what Broadway means to people going here in L.A.
And to foster the new voices.
That's right. And so many great new voices from Los Angeles playwrights right now. There's some really good stuff going on in the city. Yeah. Great music coming out of there. Yeah. It's a fun thing to see. And I love that venue for this as well because it's an intimate venue.
Right.
You get to see your favorite performers up close and personal. That's a great thing.
Valerie has headlined for me before and done such a wonderful job with David Burnham, who was her co-star, actually, in Sunset Boulevard.
Yeah.
Very cool.
David and I are talking about him coming back, so
cool.
You and I should talk about you coming back.
That would be lovely.
Negotiations going on air. I love it.
I do have a show for you, actually.
You do?
Yes. It includes my sons who are
well,
are
I love both
composers.
Your
Now,
boys.
How many sons do you have?
I have twin boys.
Wow. They are equally talented.
Very talented. Oh. And we do a show called All in the Family.
Oh. That's very cute. Very cute.
Yeah.
Wow.
I would love that. I would really love that.
Yeah, we should talk about
Let's
that.
Do.
That would be really lovely.
Do you ever do that song, Mama Sang Bass? Daddy sang dinner. What was that? How's that go? That's a great piece. I love
great
that song.
Great idea. Yes.
I get credit. I get 1% of all proceeds going for it. It's the only way I make any money on this show these days. So, Valerie, I think that's such a cool thing. Is it? Now, this is not on my question list for the day. This comes straight out of. So pardon if it's not well formed. When you're raising children and you want them to go into the performing arts and you want them to explore what they want to do, but you also want them to have a basis in reality and life, is it hard to kind of have those early conversations with them about you got to train yourself right? You know, you want to have fun, but you also have to start really early learning the right mechanics of singing and all that sort of thing? Or did it just come naturally to these two boys?
Well, these two boys, it did come very, very naturally to them. I have to say, they just blow me away.
Yeah.
But I do have to sit down and talk to them about the business.
Of the business, I'm sure.
Of the business.
Yeah.
Because when you're creative, you tend to just want to do that. And you have to be able to take that hat off and put on the other hat of the business and say, okay, this is what I need to be able to do this business that gives, you know, they're so passionate about it.
Yeah.
So once they get that together, you know, then they can say to themselves, okay, here's my goal, this is what I need to do, and this is what I need to get there.
Pretty amazing.
So
that's wonderful. What a well said.
Good
and also,
mommy.
I think that's well, and isn't that a great thing for a mom
good
to do? To go look,
mommy.
Go out there and be creative. But it's not just all fun. There is a serious side to it. I struggle with that daily. You know, with going look, you're going to see a lot of this, especially in the town we live in. You're going to see a lot of this kind of thing. It takes hard work too.
Absolutely.
It takes a whole lot of hard work. So, where can people find out more about you, Valerie?
They can go to my website, valerieperry.com. I am on social media, all the platforms, Facebook, Valerie Perry, at Valerie Perry on Twitter, and V Perry Music on Instagram.
Wow.
And do you have any recordings that people might be able to buy?
Oh, yes, I do. I actually have one called Sweet Conversation, which is available on iTunes and all the other digital platforms.
Well, we would obviously always encourage you to get out there and go see her whenever you get a chance.
Absolutely.
A wonderful performer. And most of all, get off the couch and go see some theater somewhere.
As we always say.
That's right. Put
and
down
Sunday,
that remote.
NBC is helping. Sunday you can stay on the couch as long as you're watching something.
It's a nice mix, isn't it? But you got to put down the phone. But you can stay on the couch and watch Jesus Christ Superstar live in concert.
I'm excited to see this one.
Very cool.
I am too.
Yeah. That's on NBC. Obviously, Tim Rice and Andrew Lloyd Webber's amazing work with an amazing cast as well.
Yes,
so that's coming up this Sunday.
John Legend, who's playing the role of
Alice Cooper, I believe,
Christ.
As well. Yeah, and well, and it's interesting too when you look at. I think, and I'm trying to remember back to the listing that they put, but there's tons of people in this piece, and it looks really well done.
Well, you know, for other reasons too, it's just helping elevate the art form and keeping musical theater alive in a you know, national way.
That's
and
right.
That's something that I'm proud of NBC for sticking to
Me
that
too.
Because
Absolutely.
It's really the head of NBC who likes to do musicals, and he has often, I am told, said to anybody that was questioning him, I don't care what you say, we are doing musical
great
theater.
Way to do it. And obviously at the Gary Marshall Theater, Laughter on the 23rd floor, a hilarious piece. And really, if you like the style of, you know, all the Dick Van Dyke Show and Show of Shows and all that sort of thing, you're going to leave laughing. This is a really fun piece. And Gary Marshall Theater always does a great job.
And, of course, once again, ladies and gentlemen, South Pacific, which is opening on the 13th of April for four performances through April 15th at the Sororia Did I say that right?
I believe so.
Sorority.
I'm so not your pronunciation dude, man.
The Valley Performing Arts Center.
I sometimes mix up my own name,
their
man.
Their beautiful, beautiful Grand Hall Theater, which was... it's always a lovely place to see a show. Have you seen any of their work?
Beautiful.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It has the best acoustics.
I mean, it may be the best acoustics in LA.
I think so.
Yeah.
But it is certainly worth any price of admission, and there's not a bad seat in the house. And that is, again, April 13th through the 15th. And then it opens down there at La Mirada for April 21st through May 13th, produced by Tom McCoy and Kathy Rigby.
And if you'd like to win tickets to the April 15th matinee of that show, South Pacific, at the beautiful venue, the Valley Performing Arts Center, we'd encourage you to go ahead and drop us a note at our email account, stateoftheartsla@gmail.com. If we don't get a hold of somebody within 24 hours after they've emailed us, if we don't hear back from them, we go to the second and third person. So please, if you're listening to this on podcast, go ahead and keep entering because still a chance to win.
Absolutely.
You can also, of course, go to our Facebook page and drop us a note there.
Has it come to that time?
I believe, Michael, it is that
time.
Like
and now, embarrassing moments.
Ed Hall Valerie literally Perry. Made her jump out of her chair. So pretty nice work there, voice of God.
So Valerie Perry, we are going to ask of you, spontaneous.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, no.
To recall an embarrassing moment in your career.
As Michael locks the door so she can't get away.
It could be from anything. On stage, in film, television.
Oh, my
something
gosh.
That went terribly wrong. It could be funny. It could be sad.
Something that went terribly wrong. Okay, sitting in Chicago, just finishing the phrase, no one else can fill it like I can, and looking at the audience where everybody is standing up and walking out, and I'm thinking to myself, what is going on? And I'm sitting in a slip on stage. It became like the reality of... Instead of the character, it was like, Valerie is in a slip, and she is standing on stage.
She was so vulnerable during that performance.
And I go to the middle of the stage, and there was an announcement that said, ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. It is only a small little fire in a wastebasket. There is nothing to be alarmed about.
And the most
embarrassing thing is usually I do that next song a cappella, like I hit that first note,
right.
I don't really think I need, and the orchestra goes, with the note like really big, you know, and it was just one of those embarrassing things where you thought, oh, wow, I'm standing here in my slip, and the orchestra has to give me my note. And,
Well, that is, and yet you went on to many amazing performances after that, and that's one of the things we like to tell our young performers is that the show does go on in your careers
as well.
Oh, my goodness. And to compete with fire. Not bad.
Yes, right.
Not bad. That girl
Even
can
a
stop
fire.
A natural disaster.
A little fire in a trash can.
I mean, is there such thing as a little fire when you're in a crowded theater? It's like, oh, don't worry. It's just a little fire. All right.
Exactly.
Amazing. Well, now, this happened in Chicago.
This was in Chicago.
Wow.
Yeah, Schubert Theater, Chicago.
And Chicagoans like to get out of those buildings with the past that Chicago has.
Yeah.
And nothing happened. Obviously, the fire was put out, and it was all fine.
Fire was put out. Everybody went on. We went on with the show. Everything was just hunky-dory after
what
that.
What I love is that there's people telling that story from the other side. There's somebody going, yeah, I was
I
once
know.
In a theater when, I think it was Valerie Perry performing. She was so great. And the theater caught on fire,
she
kept going, which is pretty cool.
She kept going, that Ava Perón.
I'm waiting until we have a performer on telling the story that they were in the audience that night. We'll call you up. What a great
thing. That's the beauty of live theater.
It is.
Yes.
And so many things.
And as you recall recently, I feel like we've been on the air for 3 hours. But
coming up on 50 minutes. We've been doing real good today. People feel that way when they talk to me sometimes, though. Have I been talking to this guy forever? What's going on?
95, when it opened here at the Amundsen Theater before it was heading to Broadway.
Right.
In its initial performances on opening night, there was, you know, it was a massive set. Did you see the show, Valerie?
The opening here?
9 to 5.
9 to 5.
Or any performance?
Oh, 9 to 5. Yes, yeah. I have. Yes, I did see
great
that.
Show.
The set was on a turntable, and it got stuck when it was... making a turn.
Yeah.
And it not only got stuck, but it got stuck for 45 minutes.
Oh, my
goodness.
And
Dolly Parton and Jane Fonda and all of those women were in that audience on that night. And Dolly got up.
Wow.
And she got on stage and said, in her sweet little voice, said, I'm just going to sing for you now.
Wow.
And she
acapella?
Sang. Yes, she did. The band probably kicked in knowing her famous songs.
I'm sure.
She actually entertained. And, I mean, I was there. And it was amazing. And the second that everything was corrected behind the curtain, she left. They cued her and she left, went back
amazing.
To her seat. And they picked up right from where they
heart
left
of a
off.
Performer. You're born with it, and you hopefully live with that all your life.
Pretty
and a good
sweet,
positive
but it
word.
Wow. Unfortunately, it happened a few more times in the week.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, those technical things are really
well, especially
really
a high-concept set like that.
Yeah.
Similar to what we had today.
You know, we have battled through it today. Not
yes,
only, like, Los Angeles was against us today, trying to tackle us on the freeway, all kinds of craziness. And yet we couldn't have asked for a nicer in-studio guest. She was very patient with us.
Good Lord, yes.
Yes, and of course, our wonderful people over there at South Pacific were very kind as well. Thank you to them. Michael, always a pleasure, even on
Thank
a frantic
you.
Thursday, to
Thank
sit across
you.
From you. Where
and
do I see you
right
next week?
Right back at you, sir. Next week, on the radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.